We are weak. You are weak. But Jesus is strong. And we need somebody strong on our side, don't we? We need him. You need him. I need him. The world needs him. The reason the world is in the mess that it's in today is because it will not acknowledge, it will not receive Jesus Christ. The world would be a better place, a different place, wouldn't it, if Jesus was in control? Believe me, one day he will be. It will be different than what it is today. I also wanted to mention also, that this Wednesday night, we begin our Lenten service. It is important that we support the ministries of the church. We support each other in that. You come. You submit yourself, you humble yourself, and you listen to what God has to say to you, just like you should do every Sunday when you come and listen to the Word being preached. Humble yourself. Don't be prideful. Look at your brokenness and see what you need. The Lord will point that out to you. I love the songs that were selected today. All of them was great songs, weren't they? Good songs. Yeah, amen. Excuse me. I dropped my nickel. It is good, though, to be able to stand here with you and to be able to proclaim the truth, to be able to tell you that there is a truth, even a world that would lie to you. One of the things that I'm aware of is that all of us at some point, if not now, at some point in your life is going to go through some kind of trouble. And some of that trouble just seems to linger. It just doesn't want to go away. It just stays there, doesn't it? And you wonder, when is this going to pass? Now, I can promise you one thing, everything's going to pass. Everything that we do passes. This day is passing as we're sitting here. I was reminded of a passage of Scripture out of the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians where Paul talks of himself. And I don't like to talk much about Paul because Paul is an unusual individual in the sense that a man who was given the Spirit personally by Jesus Christ sees himself as nothing. He sees himself as nothing. Now, many of us, we see ourselves, we're Christian, we're good neighbors, we're good spouses, we're good parents, and we're good workers. We do the things that we think we should be doing as far as the culture is concerned. But what is it that tells us that we're nothing? Nobody. Nobody would go up to you. I wouldn't go up to you and say, you're nothing. You're nothing. But listen to what Paul says in this passage of Scripture. We're going to begin in verse 9. I'd like to begin a little earlier than that, but we'll begin in verse 9. He says, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Let me tell you, when you've got a thorn in your side, when you've got a trial going on in your life, when you've got some kind of tribulation that you just think can't seem to get over, guess what? God's grace is sufficient for you. You remember we sang Amazing Grace? It is amazing because his grace is sufficient. Doesn't matter what's going to happen to you or what will happen to you or what is happening to you, God's grace is sufficient. He goes on to say, for you, my grace is sufficient for you, power is perfected. Now listen, this is really an odd thing for us to gather. But this is Paul talking. He's saying power is perfected in weakness. It's perfected in weakness. Now some of you out there said, that doesn't even make sense. It's because we look at power the wrong way. We look at power as some kind of physical attribute that we might have. Oh, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to lift 150 pounds, which for some people is nothing. Or I'm going to walk 10 miles. Or we see ourselves as being powerful. We see ourselves as having some kind of authority that really we do not have. You have no authority. There's just one authority, That's Jesus Christ. Now, we think we have authority, and in that authority, we think we have power. So the power he's talking about is spiritual power. In our weakness is his, in our spiritual weakness, which all of us have it. Don't say that you don't. I don't think that you do. We all have it. And in that weakness, that spiritual weakness, is his power. And listen to what he says about that. He says, he goes on, and he says, in the power is perfected in weakness. It's not just power is given, but it's perfected. Perfected means complete. It means it's complete. It doesn't lack anything. How much of us in our spiritual lives lack a few things? How's your prayer life going? How's your devotion life going? As Brother Ken got up here and shared yesterday's devotion, how many of you read that? Now some of you say, well, I read devotion on my own time with the Lord and all that. Well, we say all kinds of things, don't we? We try to justify who we are when in fact we need more Jesus. And less of ourselves. Less of ourselves. Now he says, now listen to this. Most gladly, how do you get that out of there? My power is perfected in weakness. And then he says, most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses. I remember when I was young, and I wasn't raised in a church, but I remember when I'd go to church every once in a while, I would see people, and they dress nice, and see people going to, and they used to give these badges. They'd give these badges, and they'd wear these badges proudly. They'd wear these badges as if that made them something different than everybody else. Some people, maybe some of you, wear a cross thinking that makes you look different to the world than somebody else. Let me tell you, it's weakness is what that is. That's your weakness. Now, I'm not telling you to go throw away your crosses. You wear them as long as you want to. As long as they satisfy something in you, go for it. But I'm telling you, it's in that weakness. And Paul says, I most gladly boast in my weaknesses. I don't boast in what I know. I don't boast in who I know. He boasts in who he knows. I don't boast in what I know. I don't boast in where I've been. I don't boast in who I know outside of Jesus Christ. Because he knew the apostles, see. He knew them. He knew of them. He talked with them. He'd sat with them. He supped with them. He knew them. And he himself says, I am the least of all those apostles. Even the apostles, in which he was one. I would rather boast about my weaknesses so that what? The power, the spiritual power of Christ himself. You see that? It's the spiritual power of Christ that he's trying to reveal. He said, I'm going to boast of my weaknesses that Christ would be mighty in my life. Christ, you would see Christ in my life. You would hear Christ in my life. I will boast the power of Christ may dwell in me. Do you want the power of Christ to dwell in you? Really? Because if you do, you're going to have to give up yourself because there's not room for two. There's not room for two. You see yourself as an individual. An individual who? I am Dennis. Well, I'll let Jesus come in a little bit, but don't squeeze Dennis out. Hey, I'm still here, you know. But listen to what he says. The power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults and distresses. Now, I want you to hear what weaknesses are. We think it's about strength. We think it's about power. We think about some kind of muscular thing. But listen to what he says. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses. Now, listen to what those weaknesses are. With insults. Your weakness. How many of you, when you're insulted, act the same way? You insult them. That's a weakness. That's a weakness. It's not the power of Christ for certain. He says, I am content, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties. For who? For Christ's sake. For when I am weak, so when I am content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then, and only then, am I strong. Only then. You have no strength unless you have Jesus. Jesus is our strength. When people insult us, we shouldn't act like they do, should we? Should we act like everybody else when they insult us? Well, how about when we're in distress, some kind of distress? Who do you go to? You go to a doctor, you go to a politician, you go to your spouse, your children, you go to the medicine store. What is it that you go to? The pharmacy? The pharmacy, I'm telling you what, they're racking in some money. I never seen so many pills and so many people on pills, which I'm one of them. I take a mouthful every morning. I say to myself, Lord, I hope these are accomplishing what you want them to accomplish, because I sure don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're doing. How about this? How about with persecution? When somebody persecutes you, what do you want to do? You want to get defensive. You want to get back. That's a weakness. That's not strength. That's not strength. I was, Femi and I were at Walmart the other day, and it was my fault. I pulled out into the lane where people were coming out of the store there, and some guy, and he's had four kids and trailing, and man, he got mad at me. He wanted to fight me. I rolled down the window, and he goes, you know, he uses some expletives and things like that, and I said, that, why, is that necessary? Is that necessary for your kids to hear that? Your only kids hearing that? Is that necessary? Oftentimes we're the same way, aren't we? We turn around, we say, well, they offended me. I have every right to defend myself. Defend myself. Let me tell you something about Jesus in you that you may not know. Maybe you do know. Hopefully you do know. But let me tell you something about the Jesus in you. You and I do not have to defend him. He doesn't need us to defend himself. He will cause us to stand when we need to stand. He'll cause us to sit down when we need to sit down. He'll cause us to speak when we need to speak. He'll give us the words that we need to say when we need to say them. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. We need him. We need him. We need his strength, his power within us, that in our weakness will show his power. When somebody insults us, we're not going to insult them back or go talk about them behind their back. That's what most people do. They go talk about people behind their back. Don't be talking about people. We have no right to talk about anybody. What we need to do, if we have something issue, we need to go to those people. Talk to them about it. Kind of reason with them a little bit about it. Don't go to your neighbor and say, oh, you never know what neighbor such and such done to me the other day. Who cares? How about what did you do for them, as Jesus would have you walk in weakness instead of your own strength? How about with difficulties? Now, all these things he's talking about, and listen to all these distresses, all that stuff he's talking about, all those things that are weakening us, is for Christ's sake. It's not for your sake. That's what he says. The difficulties for Christ's sake. When you stand up and you defend the gospel for Christ's sake. When somebody talks bad about your Jesus and you stand up and say, please don't talk about my Savior. That's for Christ's sake. When somebody insults your Savior, what do you say? Well, I'm getting out of here. I'm running away. How about standing up and saying, well, I don't think you should talk about Jesus like that. What has he ever done to you? That's a good comeback, isn't it? When you're in distress, who should you go to? Jesus. When you're facing some kind of difficulty or challenge in your life, you don't need to go anywhere else. You go to Jesus first and foremost and ask him to guide you and lead you in his strength and not your own. Trust him, believe him, obey him. How about that one? That's a tough one. To obey the Lord. This is what he says. I want to go on here. For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. I have become foolish. Yourselves compelled me. Actually, I should have been commended by you. For in no respect was I inferior to the most prominent, the most eminent apostle, even though I am a nobody. Listen to that. Paul himself compares himself to the apostles and say, even though I'm as eminent as they are, even though I'm an apostle too, I'm a nobody. I don't know any people going around saying I'm a nobody. I'm somebody. And what they'll do, they'll hang God's shingle on there. I'm somebody because God said, I'm to do this. God said, I'm to go here. God said this and that. I'm somebody because of that. Paul, look at everything that he went through. That's why I don't like to preach about him, because he's always talking about himself being as weak and nobody. And I think of myself and I think, do I have to be a nobody? Can I be somebody? If you're not somebody for the Lord, you're nobody. That's what Paul's saying there. If you're anybody, it better be for Jesus. And you can't be a somebody for Jesus if you're somebody for yourself. Need to get away from the foolishness of thinking too highly of ourselves and start humbling ourselves. You know what Christ did? He humbled himself, it said. He humbled himself. In other words, it's within our authority, it's within us to humble ourselves. You can do that. You don't need some supernatural power to do that. You can humble yourself. Jesus said, I humble myself. It says of Jesus, he humbled himself even to the point of death, going to the cross. In other words, he humbled himself that he was ready to die for what the Father had called him to do. I guess the question is, what is Jesus calling us to do? Is he calling us to be somebody? Or is he calling us to be nobody and him being everything in our lives? The signs of a true apostle were performed among you with all perseverance by signs and wonders and miracles. That's what people are looking for. For in what respect were you treated as inferior to the rest of the church, except that I myself did not become a burden to you? Forgive me this wrong. Here, for this third time, I am ready to come to you, and I will not be a burden to you. Now, sometimes, you know, we are a burden to people and we don't even know it, especially as they're growing in their faith. One of the things that I pray humbly before the Lord is, help me, oh Father, not to be a stumbling block for someone to finding their way to you. I don't want to be a stumbling block to you. I want to be part of the way. say, this way, come this way, come this way. I want to be part of that light. But I will most gladly, goes on, are not responsible to save you up for their parents, but parents for their children. I will most gladly spend and be expended for your souls. That's what he's called us to do. That's the answer to your weakness. I will most gladly spend and be expended for your souls. How many people you know weep for the Lord? I talked to a good sister of mine yesterday, and she was telling me about a time that someone had said something to her, and she knew that this person was broken and hurting, and she went back and she wept. How often do you weep? Maybe you got no reason to. Maybe you think everything's all right and everything's working well in your world. He said, I'll most gladly spend and be expended for your souls. If I love you more, am I to be loved less? We're to love one another according to how God sets out that love. No one else. There is a lot in this passage of Scripture. I hope maybe you'll go home and read it. 2 Corinthians 12 chapter. Find for yourself what God may be speaking to you now and wants to continue to speak to you. In the meantime, we're going to honor the Lord. We're going to praise the Lord. We're going to worship the Lord. Today we're going to do things a little bit different. When we come down and receive those who want to be prayed for, we're going to just play some quiet, soft music. So you can come and you can kneel at this altar. You don't have to be overburdened. You don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to be in distress. You don't have to be persecuted no more. You can come down here to this altar, and I'm telling you, Jesus will never do those things to you. He will never put you in distress. He will never persecute you. He will never forsake you or leave you. He's not like the rest of us. And he's saying, come. Come. I'm here to hear you. We sang earlier about that old rugged cross. On a hill far away. Far away from a lot of people. It is. That cross might as well not even exist in the life of a lot of people. That cross is so far away from them, they can't even see a glimpse of it. Where are you when you think about the cross? Is it somewhere on a hill far away that you can't see? Or is it near your heart, reminding you, reminding us what Jesus did for us? Because he humbled himself, went to the cross, and died for our miserable souls. And he's still doing that. If you're here today and you haven't found that peace that comes with a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, I beg you, I ask you to come. Just give your life to Jesus. Now, I can assure you that you will never, ever regret it if you do. So you come. Father God, thank you so much for these beautiful souls that you've brought together in this place today. Lord, we know that your truth sometimes, it doesn't just quite sit well with us, because it talks about things really we just don't want to deal with. Paul had a thorn in his flesh, and as you know, and it was set there by Satan. It was a thorn that was evident that Satan had given it to him. And yet, you said, my grace is sufficient. Your grace, O Lord, your grace is sufficient. Not my grace or anybody else's grace, but your grace is sufficient for all of us. So, Lord, as we consider that, as we come to the close of our service, help us, O God. Help us to be mindful of you. Help us to be mindful of that old rugged cross. Help us to be mindful if we've been washed in the blood. And help us to be mindful of that beautiful name, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.